Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Never Not Funny. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the Age of Uncertainty for another Homes Alone edition. It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. And my guests today are the four gentlemen who comprise the cast. Is that the right word for it? The cast of the Never Not Funny podcast called Never Not Funny. Oh my God, my phone is ringing. That's not supposed to happen. Hang on a second.
You sure you're not somebody's playing Pachinko?
Exactly.
Well, fortunately, it was spam risk. And whenever he calls, I just let it go to voicemail.
Wow, I just snorted at that.
I heard it.
We all did.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Great. Hello, Doug.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Let's introduce you individually, starting with the host, the creator of Never Not Funny, of course, is Jimmy Pardo. Hey, Jimmy.
Doug, it's a pleasure to be back. The last time I was on, I forget how I did, but I'd like to think I did okay, but I'm not anticipating that today.
Well, you know, we started a game on the Never Not Funny podcast when I was on recently.
Yes, sir.
And we didn't get to finish it. And I said, let's finish it over on Doug Loves Movies. So we're making this a crossover event.
I see. And so do you have points accumulated so far?
Yes. So far, each of you has a point except for Matt.
Okay. Tie game, right? Except for one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, discussed with Matt, like, what would happen next in the order. And we're just going to settle the game that we started over there. It was the Leonard Maltin game. And so that's what we'll do a little later on in the show, is we'll pick that up and finish it off.
Great. Yeah, if listeners want to go back, they can find the beginning of this game on episode 2714 of Never Not Funny.
Oh, so anyone can travel through time now. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Just jump back there and check it out, and then come back to this show. I love that plan.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been listening to Never Not Funny, I don't know what your problem is. It's part now of the Misfit Toys collection. Is that right, Jimmy?
That's correct. The Misfit Toys collection involves shows like Never Not Funny, Doug Loves Movies, Wide World of Doug's, Mike Schmidt's 40-Year-Old Boy, Jen Kirkman's No Fun, and Jonah Ray's new one. What's that one called, Matt?
Let me watch your movie with you. I never get the name right. I feel bad that I can't commit it to memory, but it's...
Yeah, is it let me or may I? Like, where is his politeness?
Let me look it up.
And then lastly, the Todd Glass Show.
Yes.
Is part of Misfit Toys, the collection over there, the collective. The
Yeah, it's a great group of shows, and
agreed.
I'm proud to be a part of it.
I think I got it right. Let me watch your movie with you.
Let me. Yeah, so he doesn't even, he's not even asking nicely. He's just basically demanding it.
Hey, let me do that.
Yeah. Hey, you going to let me do that?
Let me ask you one favor, though.
Do they watch the whole thing, Matt, you think?
I think they do, because the premise is, it's cool. You can sync it up to the movie itself. They give you a little tone at the beginning, so you can watch it and listen to them like it's an audio commentary track.
I bet you also, if it's like a few seconds off, it's not going to really matter, because they're not, they're
right.
They probably go off on tangents quite
not
a bit.
Like they're, it's not like they're doing the lines in sync, so that it's going to throw everything off if it's not exact.
That's my least favorite thing in commentary tracks, when they start just talking about stuff where it's like stuff is happening on the screen that I want to know stuff about, but they're telling a story about something that happened early. Like those kind of commentaries bug me, but I'm sure with Jonah leading the way, they really probably... cover a lot of stuff, and he probably asks questions as they go.
Is it commentary, or is he doing like a Mystery Science Theater sort of thing?
It's a little of both. They're sort of talking about the making, because each guest is someone who made the movie. You know, it's either writer or director or an actor, and so they're sort of talking about the making of the movie, but also sort of having fun at the movie's expense a little bit, I think.
You know what I call that, Matt? Combo.
That every once in a while a filmmaker involved with the movie would be at a Benson movie interruption, and it was a real special kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So fortunately Jonah's watching movies that he already admires with a person who is involved in making it, so it's not it doesn't become a roast.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here, Jimmy.
I am thrilled to be here.
Since we've already heard so much from him, let's say hello to co-producer of Doug Loves Movies and second chair, if that's an expression you guys even use at all over there, Never Not Funny. It's Matt in search of Sasquatch Belknap.
Oh, no, you're blowing up my spot. Yeah, that's me.
Hey, friend.
How's it going? That's so weird that you said that, because I was, for some reason, just this morning thinking about, I ran into John Hamm at the UCB one time, and it was after, I guess, I had met him doing Never Not Funny, but he said, "Hey, Matt, I didn't realize you were in search of Sasquatch, the guy who started AST." And I was like, how the fuck does John Hamm know what AST is and like my screen name? It just totally... threw me for a loop that he would be aware of that. I guess I didn't realize what a big comedy fan he was at the time. He had been hanging out at Largo for years and all that other stuff, but I didn't know that. So I just stunned into silence at that.
Yeah, he just lurked around on Special Thing and hung out in the back at Largo and stuff. And just, he basically figured out how comedy works from all of us. And then now he seems hilarious.
Right. It worked for him.
He's really did. Fine. It really did. He went to comedy school in Los Angeles while starring as Don Draper on Mad Men.
By the way, I'll just jump in with this, Matt. I had the same experience backstage at the UCB when John asked to be on Never Not Funny. And I was like, you know about Never Not Funny? He goes, yeah, I listen to it every day in my trailer. Like, what? And I, of course, said, no, you will never guest on my podcast. You have enough.
Yeah.
Do any of the other guests want a ham drop?
Elliot, you want to talk about how good he smells? I know that's one of your favorite topics. So
here's the thing. I have brought it up, but I don't know if everybody understands why I know this. By the way, I'm Elliot. Hi.
So
one of the appearances on Never Not Funny, the one where John had gone to the local deli and actually had purchased a ham sandwich for both food and comedy purposes. He and I were wearing the same magenta, blue, and white plaid He was wearing a collared shirt and I was wearing a hoodie. And so I said, well, I don't normally take pictures with guests, but I have to take a picture of with John Hamm with this same pattern. And also he brought his sandwich up to be in one of the pictures as well. But anyway, that is as close as I've ever stood to John Hamm. And it is an unavoidable fact when you are head near head to John Hamm that he smells wonderful.
Elliot, just a quick follow from Jimmy Pardo, host of Never Not Funny. Curious, who looked better in that shirt, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I suppose it depends on your background, Jimmy, but I think most people would prefer John Hamm.
I see. All right, just want to make sure. I just didn't want to know if I had it down wrong on my piece of paper.
It's amazing that even with that drugstore ham sandwich, he still smelled amazing. Like you'd think that would have overpowered all of other smells.
That was Elliot Hochberg with that that smelly story. And let's not forget the Beast. Garen Cockrell is here. Hey, Garen.
Hello. This is very exciting. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, well, I'm happy to have you here. I had this idea to have all you guys on several years ago and then didn't bother to say it out loud until just recently, but I'm glad that it has happened. And I'd like to ask you all a question before we get to the game portion of the show. Mm. Let's start with Jimmy can answer it first, unless he wants to pass.
I will answer first. I'm also very excited that I got to meet this new guy, Elliot Hochberg. I'm very excited to meet him.
Wait, what?
I wasn't going to correct the pronunciation, Doug, because it just isn't fair. But it's Hochberg. If you want to get the pronunciation the way my dad decided it's supposed to be.
Oh, I see.
That's why I took the hit for you, Elliot, so that you didn't have to be that jerk going, oh, actually, it's pronounced this. I took the hit for you.
I was also saying it from what I thought was how I've heard it being said. So I mean,
oh, I'm sure you've heard it said that way somewhere in the world if you've been around anybody else who bothered to say my name.
Well, you know, there's also a chance I've said it that way for humor in front of Doug. So.
Exactly. I was going to point the finger squarely at Jimmy for saying that jokingly because you do that all the time.
Again, that may be why I took the hit on this. More than happy to do it.
And not to belabor this point, but apparently everyone else in the Hochberg clan pronounces it Hochberg.
Nope.
But we, my dad decided that was incorrect, which... He's sort of right because the German word is Hochberg.
He's 100% right. Those other people are wrong.
And so therefore we are the only strain of Hochberg that pronounces it that way in the United States, to the best of my knowledge.
Hmm. All right. Well, it's a perfect time of year to get to learn it because I now in my head, I'm just thinking of it as ho, ho, Hochberg.
There you go.
Garen, what is your, I'm going to get everybody's goddamn name wrong. What's your official title on the show? If you could say it in front of Jimmy.
I think it's squatter, isn't it?
By now, yeah. Yeah. Legally, they can't get rid of me. I've taken over. So, there's a whole musical about it. I refuse to pay rent on this podcast. I say intern / cast member.
Okay. I didn't want to say intern because when someone's not an intern anymore, that's insulting, right?
I'm forever an intern.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes I'll tell you this, safe. Doug. We haven't hired a new intern.
Is hire the right word for intern?
I think, don't you hire an intern or do you do? Do you appoint them?
Select.
Take on.
Take on.
Take on an intern.
Oh, you guys, I'm so busy. I'm taking on so many interns.
It's like especially with Garen, it's like when a boat is sinking, you're taking on interns. We can't get that water out fast enough.
Garen, for people not familiar with Never Not Funny, will you please explain to Doug's listeners how long you've been our intern?
8 years.
Uh-huh.
So long that I thought it was 9.
Yeah. So, I believe most internships are 6 months.
Yeah, they're usually a summer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah, how many credits have you gotten for this internship?
Oh, I've got a master's degree, Doug, so let that fill you in.
And would you consider changing the pronunciation to Cockrell just to fit in?
Yes, I would.
Okay. All right, Jimmy.
Yes.
The question is, and I don't want to be whiny about this, but people tend to answer with like the same five or six movies. So I'm looking for sort of an out of the box favorite Christmas movie of yours. That's not one of the obvious ones.
You know what? My son just asked me this very question. He was like, they were talking about it on some show, and he said, "Dad, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?" And I don't know if I do necessarily. I think I like or dislike them all evenly. We are going to go see Elf tonight in the drive-in. I do like that movie, and I know that's one of the five that you hear. We yeah, just watched White Christmas the other night, and that is average at best. I don't know if I have a favorite Christmas movie. I think I just again like them or don't like them evenly.
Yeah, it's a tough genre, I feel, because like there's nothing else except for, you know, scary movies and Halloween where it's, you know, and maybe rom-coms around Valentine's Day, but where it's just a whole thing is just, you know, jammed down your throat for an entire month. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just everybody feels the need to watch Christmas movies. And that's why I want to try to find ones that are, you know, good, just a good movie that you can satatisfy the urge of people around you to have to watch Christmas things. But with something good, I've been enjoying pretty much yearly viewings of a movie called Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yes.
Which is a musical and a zombie movie and a Christmas movie. So it's really checks a lot of boxes if you're, you know, having to watch a movie with other people. There's something for anybody.
By the way, I do like Christmas Vacation. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I do like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't have a definitive answer for you.
No, I, you know. That's why I said that before asking the question. It is a tough one, and I appreciate you going first.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Pat Belknap.
Yes.
Now you better not fuck this up.
Yeah. Well, I think my first answer is the least original answer, which would probably be Elf, but I liked Scrooged a lot as a kid because it came out right at the age where I was like super into Bill Murray, and it's probably not great and maybe doesn't hold up, but I liked it a lot when I saw it, and so that's a good one. I have a new least favorite Christmas movie, which I saw for the first time the other night, which is The Santa Claus, which I had never seen, and that is awful. It's just really bad. I don't know if any of you have seen that.
I remember liking it, but it does not hold up.
Oh, I didn't. I liked it too at the time, but also have not ever felt an urge to go back to it.
Right, me too.
Yeah, probably better not to, because yeah, it's rough.
Isn't David Krumholtz as the elf? Isn't he good?
He is. He is in it. Yeah, he is. That's right. He is like one of the elves. Yeah, he's fine. He eats a pita sandwich with sprouts in it that Judge Reinhold was trying to enjoy at one point. So that's cool. But it's just a mess. And like it, weird, it's just a more of a bummer actually, because it's like about a divorced dad and like he takes his kid to Denny's on Christmas Eve because he doesn't know how to cook. I didn't understand the premise going in. I thought the premise was like something fun, like, hey, Santa's out of commission, so you have to do it tonight. But actually the premise is, no, he's now Santa. And that kind of made me sad. It's like, oh, so his whole life is over. He has to be Santa Claus now. Although I guess he gets to go back to his life. It's very unclear, the rules, honestly. But I didn't like the implication that the solution to, hey, you're a shitty parent, so now you're just going to be Santa Claus and not in your son's life at all anymore. But maybe I misunderstood it.
Maybe. I don't know. I just remember that people just went wild over like him just, you know, looking in the mirror and getting fatter. And
it was right at the beginning of, yeah. Remember when the Michael Jackson video Black and White came out, and it was like morphing was like the hot thing. Mm-hmm. It was right around then, I think, because it was like very much like, check out these effects, which now look like something that your 12-year-old daughter would do on her cell phone. And you'd be like, yeah, that's cute. But it looks real crummy by modern standards. But I could see people getting super excited at the time because it was like new and fresh.
Well, let me save you some trouble and just say you can avoid Santa Claus 2 and 3 because they're not as good.
Yeah, although they might contain some of the answers that I've been looking for about how this all works and what's going to become of this man's life.
You're really looking for answers. I appreciate that.
Oh, here's another, maybe one that people don't mention as much, okay, though. Bad Santa's fun. That Bad Santa's really fun. I don't know.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. That's pretty entertaining. It's a little lopsided. Like, not all of it works, you know, and there's some kind of inconsistencies in, I guess if he's a drunk, so that would explain it, but Billy Bob's attitude kind of shifts strangely from time to time.
Uh-huh.
The sequel to that is just just nightmarish because that little kid, they found an actor who looks like that kid just all grown up. Or actually, it's the same kid. It is the kid.
Is that how they found him?
But he's got one of those baby faces where it looks like an effect, but it really is an adult man that just looks like he did when he was a kid in the first movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's a real bummer. all right. So, Elliot, what do you think?
So the first thing I thought of, and I had to double check to make sure that my memory was right, and it is a Christmas movie. I think it is. Is 29th Street. 29th Street is the story of a fellow who wins the lottery and is mad about it.
What? I've never heard of that.
It's a great movie. It's Anthony LaPaglia, Danny Aiello, Lanny Kazan. It's great. Huh. I remember it being great.
Oh, okay. I kind of vaguely remember that now.
It's a nice story. It's got some little twisties to it. And I think it's well done.
You got to have the twisties on there to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
all right. I'm excited about that suggestion. Do you happen to know where it's, is it streaming anywhere?
That is a great question. It says it's available on Amazon. I had to look it up because I always get the number of the street wrong when I try to reference it.
It's confusing because of Miracle on 34th Street.
Exactly.
Do they?
There's some other shit going on over on 29th. I don't have time to deal with all this.
Do you think they were neighborhood at the same time? It's confusing.
It says DVD. I don't know if it's streamable.
All right. Well, if Amazon's got it, you know, you might have to pay a few bucks for it, but that's how they play that game over on Amazon. Is you like get excited that a movie's there and click on it, and it costs money.
Right. How dare they?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know how loose the definition you're using is, but Trading Places is one of my favorite movies.
Your turn is over.
I'm sorry. I can't stop giving suggestions. Please answer me. Is Trading Places a Christmas movie? It's not.
I think it is because I think anytime one of the main characters has a Santa suit on and it's, sure, you know, that time of year as opposed to someone wearing one like because they're mentally ill.
It's maybe the most disturbing Santa suit moment in film history is when Dan Aykroyd steals some salmon from a fancy Christmas party and then is eating it through the fake beard of his costume, and it's so gross. It's just insanely gross.
Yeah, it's nasty. And then of course a man gets raped by a gorilla later in that classy film.
It's maybe a little problematic by modern standards. Like there's some stuff in there that there's the F-bomb shows up a few times, I think.
But those two old guys, I had forgotten this. I saw Coming to America again, and the two old guys from Trading Places show up as their characters.
Isn't that great?
Oh.
Coming to America.
The Trading Places universe.
That blew my mind at the time. Because John Landis directed both. And that was like one of those moments as a kid where I was like, what? You can do that? Oh, this is so brilliant. I love it. And now it's like, yeah, he just did a winking joke. No big deal.
Yeah, well, that's what people are saying now about this Never Not Funny Doug Loves Movies crossover. Wow, you can do that?
The Misfit Toys universe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you still care, but I think you can watch it on YouTube, 29th Street.
Oh, okay.
As a paid thing.
Let Garen answer.
I mean, I will co-sign what everybody has said so far, with the exception of 29th Street, but I will... I will say mine is a recent film I saw a couple years ago that I now adore. It's called Deadly Games, Dial Code Santa Claus.
Wait, that's the full title?
Yeah, that's one of the titles.
It's got to be a good movie if it's got a long subtitle.
Dial Code Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's essentially Home Alone with a psycho Santa Claus.
Wow.
There's no Santa Claus in Home Alone.
It's good wonderful. Or bad. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's like a little kid and the Santa's trying to get in.
Yeah, the Santa's coming for this kid. He's Kevin McAllister. He's got all sorts of gadgets and stuff that he's using. It's bizarre and it's great. And I think it's Swedish or French or something, but
I remember you bringing this up on Never Not Funny. Yeah. I think you brought it up last year, maybe around Christmas.
How many times would the Wet Bandits have died if those things were happening in real life that happened in Home Alone?
All of them.
Three.
I mean, the paint can to the head and then flying back off of the staircase, that you can't survive that.
Every staircase slip is basically a death sentence, I think, because they crack their heads on the ice. It's crazy.
It was cold too, Elliot. You're right.
Okay, so that I declare Deadly Games the one I'm most excited about from that batch of movies. But
it's on Shudder.
There's a lot of terrific stuff there. And Elf, you just can't go wrong with Elf. I watched Elf again a few nights ago and was just kind of marveled at how it doesn't even have like downtime in it. It's always somebody engaging or interesting is on screen and something funny is happening, and it's an amazing cast. And I just love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I think I could ever find fault with is...
Oh, we ran out of time.
I seriously want to know if any of you guys agree with this at all, because it's like a perfect movie, but James Caan in certain scenes, I feel like he's in a different movie with his energy. Like he's so low energy sometimes. Like he's barely saying his lines and I'm just like, what is your deal? But then when he explodes at the end, it's like, oh... Maybe it was all on purpose. He was like building up to that great moment where he just yells at.
I was watching it the other night with the fresh perspective of his treatment in that Elf, that mini documentary that's on Netflix right now, the movie, the Christmas movies that made us.
Uh-huh.
In that, they said that now none of you guys have seen that.
I actually just watched it last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So what does James Caan, what has he announced to everybody on the set?
His first day on the set, he stands up and says, "Hello, everybody. I'm James Caan. I want you to refer to me as James the Dream."
That was the full statement.
Wow.
Yeah, James the Dream. So I watched this movie with that perspective of knowing that, like, you know, he's tricky to work with and was probably not very comfortable, because they also said in that doc what I believe to be true of, like, Will Ferrell really being extra annoying in his scenes with James Caan just to annoy James Caan, the actor, as much as the character he was playing.
It worked brilliantly on that level.
Yeah. So I was watching it for that. And I got to say, the thing I was most surprised about with James Caan was that when he does turn at the end and become, like, believe and become nice, that first of all, he does it when his son just wants him. He doesn't do it because he sees the reindeer flying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His belief comes quicker than that. It comes when the son needs him, which I think is very sweet and less cynical. And then, but then when he does go full blown, he's into it. I think he does a really good job, which I think is kind of out of James Caan's comfort zone, because he's always playing a guy who's unpleasant.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Here's a fun James Caan story for you, if I can jump in here very quickly.
Oh, please.
When I lived in Pasadena, California, back in 1986 or 87, my roommate, I had three roommates, and one of them went down to the pool, and he's at the pool. And this is just an apartment complex in Pasadena where, you know, four of us split a $700 rent. So it was not a very fancy apartment complex. So my roommate goes down to the pool. And he comes back up and he goes, "Hey, you got to come down to the pool." I go, "I'm not going to the pool." He goes, "You got to come down here. You got to confirm who I think this person is." I'm like, "All right." So I went down there and I go down there and I look and I go, "Do you think that's James Caan?" He goes, "I thought it was James Caan." I said, "All right, let's go get another." So one by one, we kept getting our roommates until we confirmed that it was James Caan. James Caan was sitting at this just decent apartment complex in a Speedo out by our pool. And we don't know why, like, why there? Why wasn't whoever his friend was, why weren't they at James Caan's house? Why are they at this, just this pool by this, in this apartment? It was very strange. Anyway, James Caan went to swam in the same pool as me.
I wonder if he had a friend he was visiting. Yeah. A lady friend.
Oh, that's interesting.
Secret rendezvous.
Well, I did hear from another room, James, you are a dream. So that may mean something.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to play the rest of the game we started on Never Not Funny. We'll be right back. No flipping.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. And continuing where we left off, we are going to play to 2 points. Jimmy has one. Elliot has one. Garen has one. And Matt, thanks for coming out. You got to catch up, Matt.
I know.
Because like I said, we're only playing to 2 points. So this could end up going very quick. I should have been more prepared on my end.
So but if it goes quick, then
anybody
we
has a James Caan story they can fill with.
I've already told my one.
Yeah. That was a great one. It reminded me of one time, an apartment building I lived at in Hollywood, Ron Palillo was at the pool.
Oh, TV's Horshack.
Yeah, but it turned out he did, in fact, live in the same building.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he was just over a lot. I forget which one.
You know what? Since you want somebody to fill, when I lived in an apartment complex in North Hollywood, California, I looked out the window one day and there was a new guy who had a very fancy Bentley, and I lived in an apartment complex today. Bentley would be nowhere near. Bentley's a fancy car, right? Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there was a fancy kind of a powder blue Bentley. And I was like, who the hell would live here if they could afford a Bentley? This seems insane. And he would also have he would walk from his apartment to the car smoking a pipe. And I was like, this guy, boy, what an interesting character this guy is. And I got a closer look and I went, Jesus Christ, that's MC Hammer. And I was like, I said to the landlord, I go, does MC Hammer, did he move into there? They said, no, that guy's name's Stanley Burrell. And I was like, that's MC Hammer. So MC Hammer apparently moved into this apartment complex. I'm guessing it was because he was going through the all that tax stuff. And so maybe he had this as a cover or something. But it was crazy. Like, why is there a Bentley here? And why it was anyway, that's that story.
I thought you were going to say he was just like renovating his mansion and so he needed a place to stay for a few months.
Matt, that could very well. Again, I was just, it was conjecture about the taxes. I have no idea.
Huh.
Why Mr. Burrell was living at the Weddington Gardens or whatever they were called.
Yeah. North Hollywood seems like even if you have to be right. Cause even if he was just, you know, doing well and had, you know, renovating a house, he would find a place in Westwood, right? Or somewhere nice.
Of course you would. Why are you coming to North Hollywood? Why are you sharing a washing machine with me?
Or maybe it like going back to the James Caan theory, maybe he just had a lady friend there.
Oh, don't touch this.
That's how the song goes. Don't touch this.
All right, I'm ready.
The actual words are "can't touch this," but I got them wrong. I get the point.
All right, so Matt gets to pick the first category in the Leonard Maltin game, and then he makes the first bid. Then we'll go to Elliot, then Garen, and then Jimmy. And you get to pick between three categories. Matt, would you like Christmases on the Cape? I guess it could just be one Christmas. Christmas on the Cape. Or Feliz Navidad. Or Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
That's my wife's favorite, the Emmett Otter. I didn't have that channel when I was a kid, so I never saw it. I'm going to go, in honor of her, I will go Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Okay, great. Leonard Maltin gave this movie from 1978 two stars. Oh, I should tell you what the category is.
Yeah, it's
movies that have an otter in them.
Okay. That's my favorite animal, so I'm feeling good about this.
Okay, 1978, two stars from Leonard. He says this movie spawned imitations, and he also says that it became a TV series.
Oh, but he only gave it two stars.
Two stars, and he lists 18 names.
Ooh, that's a lot.
And the category is movies that have an otter in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, listen, Doug, I just want to be clear. Usually we do this in a live theater or something. I am allowed to Google this, correct?
Boy, that's a lot. That's a lot of names, and I don't have an inkling at the moment, so I'm gonna say I'll just say 11 names.
Okay, that's a solid number of names. Perfectly good bid. But then we go to Elliot. Do you want to challenge Matt to name it, and if he fails, you win the game?
Ooh.
Or you want to bid
that was
lower?
One of the choices. Actually, I think
because 11 is a lot of names.
11 is a lot of names. Here's my logic, and maybe I'm giving something away here, but I think I could have all 18 names and I wouldn't know what film this was.
You and me both.
Yeah.
So given that, and I can't even, by the way, think of one film with an otter in it. Cause it's a gopher in Caddyshack. So that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
And that's the only closest I can get. So I think strategically the right call is I challenge Matt to name that film.
Okay, this will be interesting. Okay. Now that we've reached this moment, I don't think these 11 names are going to help me whatsoever.
And just so I remember, these are the 11 starting at the bottom, correct?
Bottom. Uh-huh.
So you won't get to the top seven stars.
Exactly.
Nope.
Okay. But also, when Leonard lists 18 names, he does feel like their names worth mentioning.
Gotcha.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not like every single person.
So my money's on Matt, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the worst case scenario, then we're all tied.
That's right. That's a bet. That's a great case. I love that. Here's your 11 names. Stop me when you know it.
Oh, you think it's going to be that easy? You're really putting
it. I hope it is.
Oh,
we'll
my
see.
God. Okay.
James Widows, Mark Metcalf, Kevin Bacon, James Doughton, Mary Louise Weller, Martha Smith, Bruce McGill, Sarah Holcomb, Karen Allen, Donald Sutherland, and Stephen First.
Animal House.
Yeah.
So oh.
Yeah, and so Thomas Hulse plays Otter.
Right? Yeah. Nice.
I'm in it, baby. I'm back in it.
Matt is back in it. This next round is going to determine
Doug,
a winner.
Doug, out of curiosity, if it would have went down to, if I said one, who? What's the first name?
That would have been James Widows.
Oh, wow.
The gentleman, the tall guy that plays Hoover.
Wow.
That would not have helped me.
Went on to be a director himself.
Ah.
I randomly just happened to watch, my family and I watch the Goldbergs every night, the great TV show. And they just did, the one I just watched was their Animal House tribute episode. So
nice.
It's fresh in my mind. And two of those guys, although I can't remember which two of the cast members from the movie had cameos in it.
Can't remember which two either.
Yeah, I'm blanking. Read that list again, Doug. I'll tell you.
Tim Matheson?
Tim Matheson was one of them. The other guy I didn't even recognize, so I don't know.
Is it James Meadows?
Peter Riegert?
I don't know.
Peter Riegert and Tim Matheson are like the buddies that are always together.
Oh, that's very possible then, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, John Belushi got top billing because he was quite popular at the time.
Yeah.
And there was a perfect amount of John Belushi in that movie. Like, there's lots of scenes without him, and it's a nice mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means that let's go to Garen and then to Jimmy.
Okay.
Garen starts us off by picking a category, the aforementioned Christmas on the Cape, or Last Christmas, or the other, what was the other one I said? Oh, Feliz Navidad.
I'm going to go Christmas on the Cape.
Okay. Christmas on the Cape is superhero movies.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
2013 is the year, 1.5 stars from Leonard. He calls this movie vulgar. And he also says that it's comic book movie making at its worst.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. And then he lists 9 names.
Huh. 13, and he calls it
Garen Cockrell, how many names?
I'm going to say 5 names.
All right.
I'm next, Doug.
No, it goes to Elliot now.
Goes to me?
No, Elliot just
I just did. It goes to Jimmy.
Yeah, it goes to the person who chat. When there's 3 players, that's where it gets really screwed up. When there's 4, when there's 3 players, the order reverses and it starts with the person who didn't.
I see. My apologies.
No, it's okay. It's so confusing. But it starts with the I've totally screwed this up because I think I did the order wrong at one point during the first part of the game. You know how excited you get to be when you get to be on Never Not Funny.
Oh,
you
get
so excited.
I get excited 3 times a week, Doug. I get it.
Yeah.
Wait, so Doug, just so I'm clear, there's a chance I don't play this game at all if somebody wins this.
It's a dream come true for you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Is it? I like to win in or lose.
Yeah, it's still fun either way, I like to tell everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is.
Jimmy, how do you think I felt last time? I basically got to pick a category and then I got my ass kicked. That's what happened on last time we played this.
It's just full of unfairness.
Well, at least you got to do that. I'm literally just listening to you guys play. Which I guess is the premise of the show, so I'm enjoying
it. Yeah, but it could get to you. It could get to you. So, Garen, what do you think?
So Garen said 5,
9
right?
Names.
I said 5, yeah.
Okay, 5 names, and then Elliot.
I'm gonna say 4. I think I know what this is.
So it's getting closer to Jimmy now. It's not quite at Jimmy yet because we got Matt in the way.
Elliot, name that movie.
Oh no, Matt's coming in to try to get the win.
Sure.
Well, Jimmy watches.
I'm going to say
Jimmy,
2.
Next time, you know, because of COVID and everything, you can just send a photograph of yourself.
Perfect. I will do
just
that.
You know what? You know what?
Just
something
download one off the internet, Doug. That'll save me the time.
We'll just do a standee and we'll put it in the corner.
That's Garen's job.
All right. So 5 names is the 4 names.
Thank you, Garen. Four names. Yep.
Elliot.
Yep.
Your 4 names are Lindsay Fonseca, John Leguizamo, Johnny Legs, Donald Faison, and Morris Chestnut.
I think I'm still right. I might be wrong. And I hope that here's the only problem. I think I know what movie it is. I may get the name wrong, but let's hope I got it right.
Okay.
Hitchcock?
Oh.
What? How is Hitchcock a super? Oh, you're thinking of.
He's thinking of that
the Will Smith one.
Yeah, that's not. Now that you said Hitchcock, I can't think of what the proper name. But
it's close
Hancock.
To that, though. Hancock.
Hancock.
All right. So it's either that or it's not. I said Hitchcock, but there we go.
It's not Hancock, unfortunately.
All right.
Is it Hitchcock?
Unfortunately, I mean, also because that means Matt.
So Matt Belknap wins?
And it's all my fault.
Jesus,
let's point that out.
Elliot? Well, here's the thing.
We shouldn't play it with four people, but, you know, lesson learned. The movie.
Wait, Doug, hang on a second. Mm-hmm. If I could be part of this in any way, shape, or form. So let's say Elliot said four, right? Mm-hmm. Matt, wait, how did it go?
I would have had to say three, and then you would have gotten a chance to say name it, and then I would have lost.
Okay, so I would have said name it at three, and you would have lost?
Yeah, I would not. I still don't know what it is. And he just named a bunch of actors I know, and I still don't know it.
Yeah. Okay. Nice going, Elliot.
Give us some more names, though. Maybe let's see.
Here's the thing, actually, Jimmy. I didn't have a choice. I either challenge Garen. I guess if I challenge Garen, I win. Or I have to do a thing. There's no other options, right?
Matt would have gone to three.
No, he challenged me.
Let me see what the fifth name would have done for Garen. Would you have gotten it if you known the fifth name was Clark Duke?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Not a time machine. That's not a superhero movie.
I think now I might know it.
It's not super, is it?
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
But Vulgar, that's the thing, because the other things I'm thinking about, Vulgar wouldn't fit.
Oh, hell. Ah. I know what it is.
Yes, what grandmother?
Is what is it?
It's it's not not Hit Girl, but Kick-Ass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the tricky part is this is Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, jeez.
and you wouldn't given it to somebody if they said Kick-Ass.
No way. Leonard, because the years would be wrong. Sure. But also Leonard liked Kick-Ass, and that's part of the negativity of this Kick-Ass 2 review is that he thought it went too much further than the first movie did.
Yeah.
I mean, even Jim Carrey denounced the violence in the movie like the weekend it opened, which, you know.
Right. There was a shooting, I think.
Something happened. Yeah, there was something.
Yeah, yeah. So he was just like, it came out and said that he thought it was too violent. I was like, well, but you're in it and you didn't have that problem while you were making it.
Yeah. You didn't know they were actually rolling film when they had all those violent scenes.
Yeah.
You thought that was just for fun.
Well, thanks, guys, for coming in here and settling this matter. And
I'm
going to
say two names.
Kick-Ass 2.
Always be bidding. Jimmy, anything else to plug besides, or anything specific you want to say about Never Not Funny?
You know what? I have my web series season 2 has started of Jimmy's Records and Tapes, where I talk about my five favorite, for example, this week is five favorite Christmas songs. And then last week we did five favorite story songs. So that is my web series, Jimmy's Records and Tapes, which you can find at youtube.com/nevernotfunny.
Thank you for being here. Matt Belknap, what do you got to promote?
Well, I don't have anything to promote other than Never Not Funny. So I'll just mention, speaking of story songs, that No Body, No Crime by Taylor Swift is a banger. And everyone should go check that out. Really
does it slap, Matt? Does it slap?
It slaps hard. It's a classic cheating, murdering, crazy country song in the middle of a folk album, basically. So I'm loving it.
Is that the one she wrote with Haim?
Yeah. Yeah. Haim's on it. And it's and Haim's one of the characters, the Estee. One of the Haims is in it as a character. It's crazy.
And we're sure it's not Haim?
I will never know. I always feel weird. Saying it either way makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I'm being anti-Semitic.
You're disagreeing with me, and my track record has not been good.
Yeah, that's true. Especially with the Jewish the Jewish type names, you're having trouble.
It could be Haim for all you know.
I know. L'Chaim to that band.
Elliot Hochberg.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just going to say it with disgust every time.
Well, he's heard that.
Listen, Hochberg.
Yeah.
What? Anything you'd like to promote?
Sure. I got a couple things I could throw out there. If you want to do some silly, pointless trivia game, I have three-word trivia. That's the number three-word trivia on Twitter. I put out three words, and you have to guess what I'm thinking of. Just by triangulating from those three words, and I will respond personally with correct or incorrect to you. You can also go on Twitch. I am twitch.tv/simplenight1, and a couple times a week I stream games and just I'm silly.
I love it. I want to try this three words game. I think
it's fun.
I think I like it. Yeah. And Garen Cockrell.
Garen,
you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch at my new screen name is at James the Dream. No, it's at my name is Garen, and then I've got a couple books on Amazon. Go ahead and buy those if you like scary stories.
Well, thank you to all the fellas from Never Not Funny for being here.
Thank you, Doug.
And have a great rest of your holiday season, and let's go 2021.
Here, here. Let's do it.
Yeah. Viva. And Matt's pulling double duty here, so get ready with the theme song, Matt.
Yep.
As always, I should do my plug. RushTix.com this Saturday. I'm doing a show at 4:20 Pacific time. RushTix.com. Yeah. Ka-ka. As always, God bless us, everyone.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.